And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Lord, we ask you that you might give us wisdom and grace as we look into thy word. And Lord, that you might apply it to our hearts, to our souls, to our mind. That we might fall upon our faces and worship thee, the one true and living God, that one before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That all men shall fear thee, O Lord, and all men shall give glory to the name of Jesus Christ the righteous. And Lord, we ask you that you might give us grace as we look into thy word, that you might help us to rightly divide it. Lord, that we might see in it that which you have given unto thy people. For indeed, Lord, thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And there shall come forth a rod, or a shoot, out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. When the Lord Jesus came, there was no beauty in him that men should desire him. There was nothing in his birth or in his growing up or in his citizenship that would cause men to take notice of him. In fact, they didn't. They said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I mean, who is this one? And yet Isaiah prophesied that he would come. And the Lord hid these things from the wise and the prudent. And the Lord Jesus thanked him. Thank God, his Father. He said, I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Now, that's hardly the thrust or the understanding of the majority today, or the message that we hear that purports itself to be the gospel. That which is widely set forth is that God is in such a bind and under such a burden to try to save men, that he'll do just about anything, and he has just opened up the windows of heaven in such a way as to try to sweep in all men, and he's just trying to do it with all that's within him, and the only thing that's preventing it from occurring is men. And if we could just get men to understand and see that God has set forth all of this and made provision for them, if we can somehow convince them of that and turn their old hard hearts to soft hearts by our ability to set these things forth and sing a few songs as tear jerkers and get them in the right frame of mind, then not only will we help them out, but we'll relieve God of His great burden. Now, I know men wouldn't say it in those many words, but I've heard enough of it, and you have too, to know that that is basically what's being said. And it doesn't really matter what is being said, but what really matters is what God said. Now, on the one hand, we're not really concerned with what men are saying. But on the other hand, we are. Because it doesn't really matter what they say insofar as the salvation of God's people is concerned, but it does really matter in that men would exalt themselves and seek to dishonor God. And so, any time that we would speak against false doctrine, it's not because we think ourselves to be so smart, but it's because we believe that false doctrine dishonors God.
Amen.
And we would desire that the name of the Lord be exalted, even as Al did in that fine presentation of that last verse of Job. That is our place before God, is to glorify Him forever, to magnify His name, to lift Him up. And Isaiah most certainly has set this forth. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a shoot, that which men could not see, that which didn't seem to be very significant. He didn't say there's going to be a mighty tree that's going to blossom up here. Now we know that He is a mighty tree. He goes on to say that He is a branch shall grow out of His roots. You don't think of a branch as being that which is strong. You think of a limb, but a little branch, that's just something that's coming off there that it won't hold you up. And that's how the Lord set the truth forth. He sets it forth in such fashion that it can't be seen by any but know themselves to be weak. You see, a little shoot coming up out of a stump, that doesn't mean anything unless a man knows himself to be weaker than the one that's coming up out of the stump. But when a man knows that is, then he trembles in fear. Now, you know, I can walk by a peach tree with little limbs growing out of it, and it doesn't cause me a bit of fear whatsoever. But when I was about 5 years old, and I walked by a peach tree, and I saw those little green branches and limbs coming out from there, it kind of got my attention, because I knew that my grandma, if I didn't do what she said, she'd go out there and break one of those off or send me out there to get one. And that thing would get my attention. Because, you see, I knew I was weaker. I knew I was weak. I knew, even though I wanted to be strong and all of that, I knew that I was weak and I needed something. And so I trembled in fear at even that which now doesn't seem to be anything to me. And that's the way men are by nature. They don't fear God. Because, they talk about it. But men by nature don't fear God. They think everything will be all right. It's going to turn out okay. That's what men will say. I mean, they'll tell you that they made everything right with God. I took care of that. I'm not worried about that anymore. I took care of that. It's just one little thing in life, and I've taken care of that. Now, you know, I'm going to move on, and that's all right. How foolish. The writer of Hebrews said, our God's a consuming fire. And we tremble before Him because He is a mighty God. And we know that He does indeed. He is a rod. Now it goes on to say down here that He would smite the earth with the rod of His mouth. And that's a little bit different rod than it's speaking of up there in verse 1, but it's still in keeping. I mean, He came forth as a rod. He is a ruler of the earth, even though He came forth as a shoot, it didn't appear so. And so it is that the establishment of the kingdom of God in the earth does not appear so to men. But that's exactly what Isaiah is saying here. He said, righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, faithfulness the girdle of His reins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Well, wait, that's not, I don't see that happening. That's got to be sometime in the future. The calf and the young lion, the fatling together, the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young one shall lie down, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice den. Well, we've not seen that yet. Have we? I believe we have. Because you see, when the branch came forth, these things occurred. Now, they didn't occur to the observation of men. And the Lord said to the Pharisees, they said, well, show us the kingdom of God. He said, it's here, but you can't see it. Amen. You see, the lion has laid down with the lamb, but you don't see it. The weaned child does put his hand upon the cockatrice den or the cobra's lair, the hole of the poisonous snake. And nothing happens to him. Well, we haven't seen that. No, because of what the Lord's speaking about here is that is written in language that's not meant for men to understand apart from a spiritual understanding of the kingdom of the living God. Because the kingdom of the living God is not of flesh and blood, but it's that which is spirit and truth. And you see, the children of God indeed lay their hands upon the cockatrice den and they are not bitten. Or if they are bitten, they do not die. Because Christ is that one who is the one who rules with the rod. He is that one who has come forth as a branch that's grown up out of His roots. That word, the branch there, it's a word that is, the Hebrew word is netzer. And the town of Nazareth is a directly comes from the Hebrew word netzer. The Lord Jesus Christ, the prophecy in the book of Matthew writes about, he said, and he shall be called, the prophet said, he shall be called a Nazarene. And where this comes from is from this very verse right here. He would grow up as a branch. He would grow up in Nazareth. He would be that one who was called a Nazarene. And I think about 7 or 8 times in the Scripture, He's called Jesus of Nazareth. Now that's an insignificant thing, is it not? And was not Nazareth an insignificant little old town? Yep. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, they said? I mean, that'd be like O'Brien. That's like somebody living in the big city of Live Oak or Lake City, and they said, well, could anything be come out of O'Brien? Or maybe they even lived in Gainesville or some big shot town, you know, something like that. But they said, this can't be anything. Now, it's another interesting fact is that the town of Nazareth was 3 days' journey from Jerusalem. Now, a day's journey in those times was about 24 miles, according to some of the scholars, that a donkey loaded down with goods or a person's luggage or whatever could normally go about 3 miles an hour. And in an 8-hour day, he'd go about 24 miles. And that's generally what's considered to be a day's journey. So from here to Live Oak would be a little less than a day's journey. So Nazareth was about 72 miles from Jerusalem. But I thought about that, you know, he's 3 days. Here he is. Now the Lord Jesus, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was approximately 3 years. That was approximately the amount of time that he actually began his ministry and began preaching and taught the people of God. And here he was in this little old insignificant town of Nazareth when he began, and he wound up in the heart of the religious world of the time in the city of Jerusalem. And he traversed that way, and he went from obscurity to a place of being widely known. And when he was widely known, he became the most obscure of all because men rejected what he had to say. They didn't want to hear him anymore. The religious world embraces religion, but it rejects the truth. Men want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear somebody tell them what they like. They want to hear somebody tell them that whatever they want to do is all right. And that they can be sure that they've got their eternal ticket to heaven punched if they'll do certain things. That's just the way men are. They want to get all their ducks in a row. But this one who is the righteous branch that shall grow out of his roots is the one who must reveal himself unto men. And he's pleased to do that, to show them. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Dear brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ has been set up as an ensign for the people. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Now, did he mean that he would draw every single individual unto himself? If that be the case, then he was wrong, was he not? Because obviously all men have not been drawn unto him. But what he meant, and of course as you can look at this in the Scripture, you don't have to take my word for it, but when the word all is used, it's not always all inclusive. Sometimes it is. Paul said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's inclusive of all mankind. But when the Lord says, all men will be drawn unto me, it's the same all that he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. You see, all men are all the men whom he will draw unto himself. He wasn't saying all men are just going to throw down their plows here, but he said, all the men that I will draw will be drawn. How will it be drawn? By the lifting up of the Savior, the ensign. Remember, this is a picture of that raising up of the brazen serpent in the book of Numbers when the people were bitten by the serpents. And they were dying. And Moses made a brazen serpent and put it up on a pole and said, if you look at this brazen serpent on this pole, you'll be healed. And the ones that did were. And the Lord delivered them. Now, He delivered Israel. But there was a bunch of folks in Israel that died. The unfortunate thing was that later on down the road, many of them made what was a beautiful source of healing into an idol. And they began to worship this one that was lifted up in a false way. Dear brethren, that's still going on today. Because without the revelation of God to show who He is, not one who is acceptable unto men. You can't talk a man into receiving Christ. You cannot make Christ appear to someone beautiful if God doesn't open His eyes to do it, to show Him. Because you see, Christ is an insignificant thing to the world. Just like the kingdom of God is that which can't be seen. And when the Scripture says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Well, when is that going to be? I tell you, it's now. I tell you that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has gone out into the world. And it can't be hindered. And if the sound of it has gone forth to every ear, and men have heard it, and men are hearing it. And the knowledge of the Lord does indeed cover the earth as waters cover the sea. And men say, well, I don't see it happening yet. That's because you can't see it. Because you see, God does not do things like men think. It's going to be done. The Pharisees had it all figured out. They knew there couldn't be a prophet to rise out of Nazareth. There's no prophet going to rise out of Nazareth. But the Scripture said that He arose out of Nazareth. But wait, we believe the Scriptures. They said, the Lord Jesus said, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of Me. So you see, they searched the Scriptures. They knew the Scriptures. They understood. They thought the jot and the tittle of it. But when it came right down to the truth of it, they did not know it. And He walked among them as one who was a stranger. He said, I came to my own, and my own received me not. I was wounded in the house of my friends, my family, my people. They didn't even know who I was. You see, when the Queen of Sheba went to see Solomon, she said, man, she said, when I went down there and I saw his wisdom and the glory of his kingdom, he said, half hadn't been told it to me. I thought I knew something about it, but it was greater than anything anybody ever told me. Now, those who've been given a revelation of Christ, when they see Christ, that is how they feel. That's the testimony that they have. But you see, the man of religion, he looks at it and it's not that big of a deal to him. Oh, well, he's wise. He was a great man. I mean, they tell us that he went about doing good, and they say, well, he was an example for all men. Yeah, brother, the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed an example. But that doesn't mean anything compared to the fact that He was God with us. He was that one who came forth out of Jesse's stem. He was that one that sprang forth as the branch, as the one whom God ordained. That one who's glorious in our eyes. That one whom we say, the half has not been told us. Oh, let us worship and fall down. Let's bow down in His feet. For He's worthy of all praise and glory and power and might and dominion belong to Him. And He rules and He reigns in the kingdom of God. And He manifests Himself to His people in the earth. And the kingdom of God is with men. We're not waiting for the kingdom of God to be with men. The kingdom of God is with men. Because Jesus Christ brought the kingdom of God to men. And righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, and faithfulness the girdle of His reins. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now, dear brethren, let me ask you what rest could be more glorious to the children of God than the rest of being found hidden in the bosom of Christ as the Redeemer of His people. It can't get any better than that. And yet, the half has not yet been told us. Because it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But oh, you see, the glory of God is begun in the present time. As Jesus Christ has come into the earth, into the world, to establish and manifest His kingdom unto men. And then, in the final day, at the last trump, when the trumpet of God shall sound, He shall indeed come again to this earth to receive that which is His. But you see, it's already His. It's already His because His kingdom is already established. The unfolding of those things that are yet to occur are but a further revelation of that kingdom, but they are not a further kingdom. It's not a future time which is yet to happen in the sense that God's going to do something different. No, He's just going to manifest the sum total of what He's already done. What's the purpose of the judgment? Well, it serves many purposes. I mean, primarily the judgment of God is a manifestation of the glory and right of God to do as He will with His own. That's first and foremost the purpose of the judgment. But the purpose of the judgment is to magnify the work of Christ as the Lord sets forth that which He ordained and gave into the hand of His Son to purchase with His own blood. And He said, I'm going to set my sheep on my right hand and the goats on the left. And there's going to be seen most starkly and most clearly a difference. You see, there is a revelation, dear brethren, in the judgment of God between the righteous and the wicked. And though we tremble to consider the glory of God, yet we rejoice to consider that Jesus Christ has purchased His people. And He said, the Father which gave me is greater than all. And he said, he will keep them from falling. Oh, what a glorious thing that indeed this branch has grown out of the roots and the stem of Jesse. He's come forth and the Spirit of the Lord has rested upon him. How can a man know God? The Scripture says no man has seen God at any time. Jesus Christ, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Can a man know God apart from knowing Jesus Christ? No. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. Men think of Christ as some secondary figure. As though a man can approach God by any means that he wants to. Why? You know, he can be a Hindu, or he can be a Buddhist, or he can be a humanist, or he can be a halfway Christian. Just whatever he decides to be. But you see, if a man not in Christ, he can have no knowledge of God whatsoever. Even though he may think that he does. He may be convinced that he does. But if he is not in Christ, he can't see God, because God cannot be seen apart from Christ. He is the revelation of the Father. And we have seen him. That's why John said, we beheld him. We beheld him. Full of grace and truth. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the prophets, hath in these last days. When? The last days. Well, I wonder if these are the last days. That's what he said. He said they are the last days, did he not? Are we waiting for the last days? You hear people talking, well, do you think this is the last days? Yeah, I believe this is the last days. It's been the last days ever since Jesus Christ came into the world. These are, little brethren, I write to you, this is the last time, Paul said. There's not another time, dear brethren. This is it. Christ has come. And he's full of glory and power, and we worship him. And we come here this morning to remember the grandest display of grace and mercy that the world, that creation, has ever laid eyes on. And God's given us the privilege to remember it. In a fashion, he said, as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death till he comes again. Dear brethren, we're going to display it right here. Now, who's going to see it? Well, we're going to see it. All that heavenly host that desires to look into the things of God, they are witnesses. When they see the body and the blood of Christ manifested, oh, what a privilege we have as the sons of God. You see, the world knows nothing of it. The world just thinks it's a little old thing. They don't count it of anything. Unfortunately, some of God's people don't count it to be much. Oh, dear brethren, the grandest privilege ever given to the children of God to manifest before men and angels. The breaking of Christ's body and the shedding of his blood in the behalf of his people. Oh, what greater privilege can there be for the sons of God than this? That we might be partakers of that which is eternal and everlasting.